Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am just keeping it positive the whole weekend, Chuck Montclair.
Good. We're going to need it, man. We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We bring you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Hell yeah.
And today, we got a lot of news. So just due to time constraints and the playoff games being so close together, we kind of have a huge weekend preview for you. We're going to kind of be talking a little bit more about some things we'd like to see change throughout this series as a whole, as well as some things that, you know, could continue to hinder this being a short series for the Clippers. A
couple of bugaboos, if you will.
A few bugaboos. So you'll definitely want to check that out. And then in shavings, we got some Bev talk. We have a little bit more kind of like rotation talk, as well as a fabulous Love Mary quarantine for you.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for all of that and more right about now.
So the most, also we are Locked On Clips. Shout out if you've been listening 5 days a week, you know how we come through.
I said the pot up top.
I know. I'm just double promoing, you know? So we're entering the most, other than the Grizzlies Knicks back to back, which was only retroactively the most important weekend of the Clippers season. We're entering the new most important weekend of the Clippers season, right?
Very, very true. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like I said in the recap yesterday, I do feel, maybe it's irrational, but I do feel pumped up at least for this Friday game, this game three. But, I mean, I have some worries, you know, like I really don't want to split these next two games.
For sure. Could not agree more with that. I am jacked up for Friday. I'm also excited for the Sunday game. Might be grilling up some carne asada. But so, big news. Bev is listed as doubtful for the game against the Mavs on Friday. Doc called him a game time decision, which it's like, okay, man. We're going to talk more about that coming up. But just really quick, I mean, do you want Bev to play in this game or do you want him to sit?
Man, obviously I want Bev to play in this game, but if he's not healthy, I mean, it's, you know, it's, I don't want to say that it's not worth it, 'cause I do think we can get out of this first round series.
For sure.
But I mean, like he just has to be healthy, moving forward. Like if he can't play in the second round, I think that's going to be a much bigger issue. And certainly if, you know, we are able to make it to the Western Conference final, he's going to be, just such a huge piece to making this whole thing work.
Yeah, I'm on the health train. I'm like, I don't want him to play. If he can't practice, he cannot play, right? Like that logic to me is like, hey, maybe just sit him again. But what do we need to do to go up 3-1? We're taking the, you know, we're putting the rose-colored glasses on for this weekend because it is definitely possible to go up 3-1. What do we need to do that?
Yeah, I would say not even possible. I would borderline say essential. Not to be like too alarmist, but I would say it's borderline essential. Because I really don't want this one to go seven games. And if we split this series, I have no idea how we could take care of it without going to seven games.
For sure. Oh, you mean if we split this weekend?
Yes.
Got it. For sure. Yeah. A big thing for us is just hit open shots.
Like, yeah,
29% from three last game is not going to beat any team. But we're also shooting 45% from the field in the two playoff games so far. So part of it is just guys just missing open shots, maybe getting their legs under them or something like that. But those things just need to fall.
Definitely. They definitely need to fall. And, like, it's kind of got me wondering, like, do we need to be rethinking the offense a little bit?
Ooh, that's a spicy take. I like that.
Do we need to be kind of varying things up? Obviously, you know, like, I think our defense is doing the best it can for the most part. Like, there's definitely improvements to be made.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, it's going to be really difficult to get a ton of stops on Dallas, like to hold them under 100 or something, I think is a fool's errand.
Yeah.
But I think there's some little things, some little tweaks maybe that we could do. So I think possibly, I don't know. Like, so we've been running a little bit more ISO, in the playoffs, which, you know, is a pretty normal thing for most teams. You know, that's why they say the best player in a series is generally going to win the series. You need to be able to rely on that at sometimes. And so in terms of frequency, we're a top five team through the playoffs. It's like ISO plays are about 10% of our entire possessions. However, for us, they have not been very effective. We're a bottom five team in terms of like points per possession. So each time we're running these on average, it's like 0.75 of a point, which is not a good offense.
No, I'd like a whole point.
Yeah, if you're not a numbers person, let me just tell you that less than one is not going to cut it. So I guess my question is, though, because I'm not saying that we should, you know, cut this completely out of our repertoire. Like, obviously, with two of the great scorers in the game, I think that 10% of possessions is a reasonable amount, as long as, you know, those possessions are going to the two guys who should be taking the isolation possessions.
Well said.
But... You know, like, can we count on this, the efficiency of this to kind of improve once PG gets back to like the level of shooting we know he can be at?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the simple answer is yes.
Yeah.
Right?
I think we can, but I mean, the Mavs have, we've talked about coaching, but the Mavs have gotten a little lucky with how poorly we've been shooting with open threes and just looks in general. I think it might just be a thing of getting PG more reps. I know that sounds crazy. He had 10 threes in that game against the Mavs, but he might need more. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good call. I mean, it'd definitely be it's difficult, man, because I think that he should be trying to take people off the dribble maybe a little bit more. But at the same time, I really don't want those three-point attempts to go down. Like, it's got to stay around 10.
It's got to be 10-plus. Like, it has to.
It has to, yeah. Well, and then another interesting thing that we're not really utilizing a whole lot, but the opportunity of post-ups, right? So – we've been really efficient in these throughout the playoffs, and granted, it's only two games, you know.
Yeah.
But we're currently number one in the league in terms of efficiency on post up possessions. We're averaging like a 1.4 points, essentially, almost a point and a half. So very, very efficient. That's like better than the best offense.
It's literally the 100th percentile, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It's literally the 100th percentile. So, I mean, like, these have been remarkably efficient. We're scoring like 65% of the time in these plays. And we're getting to the line at like an 18% clip, which is, you know, which is great, especially we needed to get to the line even more. I feel like in that last game.
I'm going to talk about that after we get done with this part. But definitely.
So we've been running it, these post-up plays, right? They're like less than 5% of our entire possessions. You're talking like 6 possessions a game, right? Mm-hmm. And this isn't a fluke. Like, despite this being like a very small sample size, two games is nothing. But in the regular season, we were also a top 10 team in terms of efficiency in the post-up. And that's like just under a point per possession. So it's not like, you know, it's not completely like smoke and mirrors, right?
For sure. There's a trend that lends itself to saying that we should maybe post up more.
Definitely. And we, you know, we ran it in the regular season about 7 possessions a game. So one more possession a game. Yeah. I'm just saying maybe we up that to, let's say, 10 possessions maybe. If it's working, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if it's working, maybe we try to feed someone in the post, whether that ends up being
someone.
Zoo. That's the thing, right? With the way we're doing these center rotations, I do feel like there's a few players, especially with Dallas essentially being out two centers, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like the opportunity for Zoo, I mean, that sticks out. Obviously, getting Trez some looks in the post. And then maybe even Marcus Morris, you know, he's a big dude. I think that, you know, if the space is there to get him those type of opportunities, which I'm not saying that it will be, but I think it's definitely worth, you know, feeding whoever the big man, and that's in quotes, is
for sure
on the court at the time.
And part of that, I think, is just Zoo maybe getting more minutes, but who knows if that's going to happen. I totally agree with you. Those post-up numbers are kind of eye-popping, actually. Another thing, stop fouling and actually do something in the bonus.
Yes. Yeah. The inability to create something or get some shots going during when we're in the bonus has been troubling.
It's a trend, and it's a trend all year. All year I've been frustrated by this. We're also averaging 4 more fouls per game than during the regular season plus bubble play in these two games against the Mavs. We can't give them any free help. You know, it's the most efficient offense I've heard a couple of times. We can't give them any more help. Meanwhile, the Mavs are fouling us 25 times a game, which is 6 more than their season average. So they're helping us out too, but we just can't really take advantage of the bonus, and I just want to see it happen.
We got to be exploiting things more. I think some of that is like, I mean, Lou Will obviously has had less time with the team than we would have liked, but I think getting the ball in his hands more is definitely going to help out with that, especially if, you know, for whatever reason, PG isn't getting to the line.
Yeah. And this is a big weekend preview, so we're going to take the what could go wrong into the next segment. But first, guys, I'm going to eat a bunch of pizza tonight. I'm going to order, I don't know, 5 or 6 pizzas maybe.
Where the heck are you going to order it?
So that's the issue. Like I've said, if you listen to the show, you know my pizza oven that's in my bathroom is just way too hot to use. Plus, I got the shower in there. It's a whole mess. I'm going to use DoorDash.
Wow. What's that?
Yeah, it's crazy. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is very easy. You just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be safely left outside your home with the new contactless delivery drop-off. It's great. You can wave to them from the window. You can write them a little note. That'd be a good time. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. I wonder what the Cheesecake Factory is like in Australia. It's probably pretty extreme. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app. And right now, if you can get $5 off and zero delivery fees your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. One more time, $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download DoorDash in the App Store and use promo code LOCKEDONNBA.
Do you think that the Cheesecake Factory in Australia is just a Outback Steakhouse with a bigger menu?
Yeah, I think they just probably redid the sign. And if you'd like to order from that, you can use promo code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
All right, cool. So we're going to continue sort of our series or back-to-back preview of the Mavs playoff games. So what are we thinking could go wrong in this one?
I mean, what's going to continue to go wrong is Carlisle coaching the F out of this series. Like, if we can't adjust to what he's been able to get this team to do, I mean, they're getting so many open threes. Tim Hardaway Jr. is taking 9 a game at a 39% clip against us. We need our defense to work on rotations, and the effort just has to be there. You know, like, it's one of those things where
it's been up and down. I feel it's just been up and down.
And I've seen this on Twitter a little bit. And are we going to try and make the other Mavs beat us with some more pressure on Luka? Like, is there going to be a trap maybe? Like, let's really make these other guys beat us as opposed to being the kind of cherry on top of Luka and Kristaps murking us. You know what I'm saying?
No, I definitely agree. It's one of those things, like, I feel like Doc is maybe playing a little bit more conservatively with the in terms of, like, trapping. I know he wasn't really pleased with people overcommitting in game one. But I don't know, man. Like, we've been seeing, like, the rotations kind of be poor, especially on perimeter shooters where they're getting these open looks. And, like, is it time that we do something different? Like, is it time? Like, do we throw something kooky out there, like a box and one? Like, do we do something weird? Because for whatever reason, I don't know if it's due to lack of communication. I don't know if it's due to lack of awareness, but I mean, I think we can all say the defensive rotations have not looked as good as this team can play.
Hasn't been crisp, I would say. And kind of piggybacking off that, we kind of all saw what could go wrong in game two, right? Like, it all kind of came together. Like,
yes,
a little bit of lax effort, missed shots, odd lineup choices, no adjustments. If we can only do, like, 2 things subpar, we can beat this Mavs team. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it just doesn't all collapse in on itself like a black hole, we can beat this Mavs team.
I mean, that's the thing that's so, like, frustrating about the last loss, right? Which, I mean, like, we're moving on from, but
oh, of course,
it's like the, you know, the margins for the Mavs to get victory are so slim. You know, like, so many things can go wrong for us, have to go wrong for us for those type of wins to happen. So it's like it's just, you know, it feels like it's just tiny adjustments.
Yeah, exactly. And then this is a big one that we're going to talk about. I'll let you introduce this one because it is very important, I would say.
Are we going to talk about the Reggie problem?
Oh, well, I mean, No, I mean the guard rotations, which is definitely part of the Reggie problem.
Yes, definitely. So, I mean, like, I don't know. I think a lot of people on Twitter and stuff have been clamoring for maybe Lantry to get back into the starting lineup, which,
yeah.
I mean, the you know, obviously we haven't seen it, but I guess I like the idea of it, you know?
He's not going to ball hog. You're not going to see him jack up a bunch of random shots. Like, he's not going to do horrible drives.
Agreed. And I guess, I mean, maybe he just doesn't have Doc's trust as much. Obviously, he doesn't have Doc's trust as much as Reggie. But I would say, which
kind
you know,
of makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, I mean, like, defensively, they're the same guy.
I think it's a plus. I think Landry gets the nod in that situation.
All right, fair enough, fair
not
enough.
Not a large nod. It's not like a giant difference, but I think point of attack Landry might be a little better.
Yeah, well, and like, I mean, he's going to defer. You know, he's yeah. not going to get like the tunnel vision that we see from Reggie a lot, to be honest. But, you know, like, I think that I just think that it makes it more dangerous out there with Shaman as a shooter. He's a more efficient scorer. And, you know, like if you put in the ball in Kawhi and PG's hands more, even if we're running more ISO, like which we talked about in the last segment, I think that that looks better, just keeping the ball in one of those two handlers' hands.
For sure. And then, of course, like Reggie can't play a lot of minutes with Lou and Trez. Those three people cannot play together a lot. Like the defense is just too bad, and Lou and Trez, like those minutes still need to get sorted out. Trez is still getting into shape and needs reps, but mm-hmm. it's this weird catch 22 where if these three are on the floor, the defense is just so bad that the reps don't matter.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Like we'll talk about this more in like general bench play, but I mean they just haven't been scoring enough to offset like how poor the defense is.
Yeah, let's talk general bench play. That's a good call. What, like, how can we make the bench? I mean, it has to get better.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the defense isn't going to get any better, right?
Yeah. Or marginally, but not enough to really like flip anything.
Yeah, and like I would think just, you know, law of averages, we talk about things can't be this bad forever.
Yeah.
So I think the bench play definitely ties into that. But, we're currently middle of the pack in bench scoring. We're about 31 points per game, which is way down from us leading the league in bench scoring at about 50 points per game.
Yeah, Lou and Trez combined for 36 in the regular season.
And this is one of those things, right? Like it's the double-edged sword of obviously your bench is going to get less minutes in the playoffs. That, you know, like that makes sense, especially with, you know, when you're going in a matchup like this where the offense of the Mavs is so dangerous. There's really only so many opportunities for you to leave poor defenders on the floor.
Yes.
But at the same time, like I don't know, there were moments in the last game where I feel like their bench just abused ours. Like there was no respect. 100%. And you know, maybe to mitigate some of the defensive things, like you stagger Morris a little bit in there. Mm-hmm. I think that we should, as far as like defensive intensity, I mean, I like the staggering of Paul George and Kawhi, but I would still rather have both those guys on the floor at the same time, like wreaking as much havoc as they possibly can on this great Mavs offense.
That's a good call. Yeah, it's odd. And Justin Russo had a tweet. He said, in the seeding games, Kawhi Morris and Jermichael Trio logged 38 minutes together, basically 6.3 minutes per game in that time. They played 3 minutes total in these first two games together. So that's another bench person who it's like, let's figure some of these rotations out. It's not a stagger still. You know what I mean? Like Kawhi and PG definitely are still out there.
Yeah, definitely.
So what's your prediction for this weekend?
I'm just going to say what we have to do. I don't know what's going to happen, but like we have to go 2-0 through these games. I start to get nervous if this is like going to be a 7-game series. And, you know, ultimately it's fine. Maybe it'd even be good if the series went a little bit longer.
Oof.
More time to tighten things up, but I would rather look. So here's my concern, right? They're not doing as much practice during these playoff games because obviously,
yeah,
I mean, like one you day just off can't. In between, there's just, yeah. there's just not enough time. So the only way we're going to be able to give ourselves some legitimate rest is by taking care of business. And then we can get back in the gym as a team. We can get back to practice. We can start making this offense look a little bit more cohesive and effective. And just, you know, getting a little chance to rest.
Yeah, I think winning these two games is in very much in the possibility meter. I think it's more possible than not, for sure. Yeah, I mean, here's to going up 3-1, you know. Let's make this a little quicker than maybe, or I guess it'd be the same pace from what we thought. Coming up, we're going to be talking and shaving, should Bev play on Friday? We had a Clipper Nation poll, and then, of course, a Love, Mary quarantine.
All right, so we're back, and I guess the big question is, with Bev being doubtful for the game on Friday, game three, I mean, a couple things, right? A, should we try it? Do we want him to play? And B, like, who should start in his place?
So I think most people, I don't know, I don't want him to play because it's just that health thing. He seemingly is the most important Clipper since everything tanks all around us when Bev is not in the lineup.
Agreed.
And Doc said it's going to be a fill-in by committee. And if that is the case, I think the committee has definitely voted down Reggie Jackson.
Has to be, right, man? Like,
it has to be.
Like, the committee can't be one member that is Reggie Jackson.
Exactly. That's the worst committee in the world. So the debate I've seen mostly on Twitter is Mann versus Shamet. Magruder's apparently just out on the starting thing, which I'm like, hey, starting, maybe don't put Magruder in. But I think it's got to be Shamet. Like,
it has to be Shamet. I while I would love to see some minutes with Mann out there, I don't think he's ready for this type of challenge yet. Although I do love the intensity that he plays at Luka with.
Oh, of course. Yeah, like that's like kind of the X factor. And like, it's a lot of the same stuff as Landry, right? Like, Mann's going to defer. Like, there's no way that I could see Mann being like, this is my time.
I got this.
Yeah, like, I don't think that's going to happen.
He just to me, isn't like the floor spacing threat that Shamet is.
Oh, not at all. Doesn't know the offense as well. Like, Shamet's been with the team.
Definitely. And you know? I mean, I guess in your mind, Shamet is the better defender. He's the better defender.
Like, a little bit. Like, it's not like he's an all-world defender. There was a horrifying stat that Joseph Fryer Ward, host of the fantastic Clipset podcast, tweeted out a very depressing tweet, which was, Reggie Jackson has taken more shots than Landry Shamet and Jermichael Green combined over the first two games. LMAO. That's has to change. And I don't know if that's Doc. I mean, most of it, I would say, is actually probably on Reggie. But that's egregious.
I agree. I mean, like,
you
look, egregious? Man, that's
you feel me?
That's I agree. Just goddamn it. I agree. And that's not what Reggie's here for, man. Like,
no.
he's and you know, to his credit, he is stepping into a much larger role than you know we. But yeah, that has to change. And part of that, I mean, it's kind of easy to get more shots than those two combined. Like, Landry's taken, what, three shots through two games?
Yeah,
it's absurd. Rough.
And then, real quick, like, it makes sense to struggle without Bev, right?
Yes.
But fans on Twitter have been wondering why it looked so rough during game two. And I think it's just because it was just a perfect storm of everything that could go wrong for this Clippers team. Like, yeah, if Bev doesn't, like, you know, it didn't look that bad in game one when Bev went out. So it's one of those things, you know, where it's like, I don't think it can get worse.
Yeah. I mean, like, are you talking about all around or specifically on
just
one?
Just all around. Like, yeah. People were just kind of like, why is this how bad we are without Bev?
No, I agree. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, Reggie just can't really get it done on either side of the floor. And obviously, Pat is the tone setter for the defensive intensity of this team, which, I mean, is maybe a little sad considering that you have two top 15, I mean, probably top 10 defenders
in
the
five.
League.
Yeah.
Wing defenders at least. So I don't know, man. They got to figure out, like, they got to be more communicative. Maybe they need to appoint someone the Bev for the day.
Bev for the day would be an awesome thing if he's not going to play. Whoever's the starting point guard.
Yeah, they have to be Bev for the day. And, like, I mean, that could even be into Shamet. Like, he can yell at people to get into position.
Yeah.
And if he's Bev for the day, you have to listen.
Dude, bet for the day is maybe the best idea, other than the Landry Shamit, Laundry Jamit, that I think this podcast has ever had. But now we're shifting into the fun portion of the pod. It's the Friday episode. I put a poll out on Twitter asking if the Clippers coaching staff should wear the salmon-colored polos for Game 3. It was only a two-hour poll. We got more votes in this poll than we've ever gotten on any other more serious one. 85% of the 288 votes voted yes. The 15% who voted no, I can only imagine, you know, maybe weren't having the best day. But at some point, there's got to be a superstition thing, right? Like, the bubble's so weird. Like, let's make it like hockey playoffs. Let's get a weird tradition going for the Clippers. Be it the salmon color polos, be it something else, right?
That's not crazy. Yeah, I love it.
Any edge we can give the guys. And then now we're going to get this Love Mary quarantine going. So Zubats wore, I mean, mask of the bubble at this point, I think. With the Zupac mask made by Adidas, the sports company. So this had me thinking, what other masks could Clippers players wear that would maybe, you know, get some attention? The first one we have is Doc Rivers with one of those masks that's a copy of your face, but the image is just way too big, so it's really stretched out.
That seems like it would hurt my brain.
Yeah, and it's when he had the mustache too, so it's like a weird little mustache on the mask as well. Landry Shamit, it's just one of those weird, almost uncomfortably high-definition pictures of food, of barbecue ribs. The guy loves barbecue, you know?
Oh, gotcha.
And then Kawhi, just a clear mask.
Oh, I hate the clear
just
mask.
Just a clear mask.
I'm gonna toss a couple up on the board.
Oh, yeah, throw them in.
I'm going to say Pat Bev with like it's a mask of a speech bubble and it just says Pat Bev trick y'all, man.
Oh, wow. Okay. I love that one. That's a fantastic idea.
And then also I'd like to toss on the board, another face / food one, but it's Lou Will's mouth just going to town on a chicken wing.
Oh my God. See, so I was trying to figure out a Lou Will one. That's just an elite Lou Will one.
That's like a perfect troll to me. Like, I would love that so much.
It's fun. It's not too like, it's not too kind of like in the NBA's face or whatever. All right. Well, I mean, I'm going to go first. I absolutely love the Pat Bev trick y'all mask. That's the third best idea we've ever had on this podcast, all the same episode. I'm going to marry Kawhi with the clear mask.
Dude, it's too scary. Just me imagining it is scary.
It's so weird. It's just off-putting enough. It kind of reminds me of those weird clear masks that like bank robbers wear in movies where it like distorts like everything.
Yeah.
And then I think I actually have to quarantine the Shamit one because I have this thing, and maybe other people have it out there, if you do get at me, sometimes high-definition pictures of food look gross, I would say. Like, there's a line, it's almost like the uncanny valley where the food just starts to look a little too high-def, would be my opinion. What are you loving, marrying, and quarantining for this one?
All right, wow. There's some good stuff on the board here. I think, All right, so I'm gonna go ahead and love the Shamit.
You're going Polly?
Yeah, I'm going, dude. Always. I'm co-loving the Shamit HD food picks / the Lou Will eating chicken wings.
Damn. Yeah, the chicken wings one is good. That's fair.
Food is just a funny, and I think that either one of those is great. Especially if Shamit's is like his mouth also eating ribs. But, you know, who knows? That's neither here nor there. I got to marry the Pat Bev trick y'all, man.
That's a great – dude, that's a great match.
I just think it – I think that would be so funny. And I got a quarantine clear mask. it makes me uncomfortable. It's
clear mask, pants on the court. Dude, Kawhi could really set some trends in this bubble is all I'm saying. I think that's totally fair. Let us know what you would pick from those at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Monkler. I think that about does it for shavings. I think we got to get this weekend going. So Monday's episode, we might be doing a bit of a live recap on Twitter after the Friday game, depending how things go, depending how many libations we enjoy.
Libations. Is that the first time we said that on the podcast?
It might be. I got a brand new thesaurus, and I've just been reading that thing cover to cover. we have
all the way to the L's already. Way to go.
Dude, I'm at the L's, man. I'm at the Y's soon. We have a recap of the hopeful victories over the Mavs in games 3 and 4. No doubt some presser content. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, where can these fantastic people find us if this is their first time listening?
Oh, if it's your first time listening, thanks so much for tuning in.
Yeah, welcome.
We come at you 5 days a week. We'd love to have you on the board. Make the clip flip if you're not already a Clippers fan.
Oh, there's room.
And be sure to check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Stitcher. We're on Spotify. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe. Doesn't cost you a thing. Why not?
It's free.
Also, if you feel so inclined, you know, leave us a rating and review. We'd love to know what you think of how the show's going. You know, maybe some criticisms, polite criticisms.
I mean, I don't want those, but yeah, go ahead.
And we'll definitely give you a shout out on the air. So, yeah, be sure and do that.
Yeah. We hope everyone has a safe weekend. Hope you're wearing your masks. Hope you're still social distancing. Still a very big deal here in Los Angeles. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.